Whatever God has called you to, you are a full-time Christian. And wherever God calls you, that's where you serve. And if you serve well, you know, you look at God who he called, in the Bible, he called busy people. You know, be busy about the Lord's work and be a great employee and a great Christian. It'll be a great testimony wherever you're at. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and you ask God to speak to your heart, to really touch your heart, and you might as well not waste your time while you're here, okay? You've invested a bit, and so make sure that you leave here with God's message. I always thank God for conviction, how gracious he would be to convict me of the things I need. And so you talk to God, and you ask him to give you what you need today. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you that you know exactly what our needs are, Lord. Every one of us here, Lord, have similar needs, and then we have different needs. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you then will have free course amongst us, so that, Lord, we can hear from you, and, Lord, we can be changed and leave here different than when we came. And, Lord, I pray that we will have ears to hear, and, Lord, a heart for your word and for your son. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to give you a quiz to begin with. And as often with my messages, I have somewhat of a different style. I'm not even sure what style it is, but I just know it's not too traditional. But I'm going to give you a quiz to begin this service. And so you can either remember in your head the answers, or you can write them down. But I'm going to ask you about individuals and see if you can answer who the individual is. And so I will begin with the first one is the one who walked on the water with Jesus. Now, don't tell me now, okay? As you and your church kids will put us to shame here. The one who walked on the water with Jesus. Number two, the one who betrayed Jesus. Number three, the apple of God's eye. Number four, the apostle to the Gentiles. And number five, the one whom Jesus loved. Now, I'm going to give you the answers to the first four, but we're going to hold off on number five for a while, okay? So let's see what the answer is. Who is the one who walked on the water with Jesus? Peter. Peter, very good. Peter. Okay, who is the one who betrayed Jesus? Judas. In fact, probably we could always say a lot of them did, but the one who betrayed him. Who was the apple of God's eye? Okay, Israel, and then if you want an individual, we could also talk about David. But who was the apostle to the Gentiles? Paul, very good. Now, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at some scripture and see where we go with this fifth answer, or the fifth question, and that is the one whom Jesus loved. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 17 through 21. And God tells us here, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, All these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Now, I don't know, was there anyone in here when I gave you the question, you said, it's that rich young ruler, that's the one whom Jesus loved. Okay, I didn't think so, but I had to check just in case. Let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Let's see if we found the answer here. John chapter 11, let's look at verse 5. It says here, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now go to verses 35 and 36. Here we have our first. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. How many of you said the one whom Jesus loved, that was Lazarus? No one? Mary? Martha? Okay, we still don't have it. We look at the Apostle Paul. We go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And, you know, we can even take Paul. He said he was the chief of sinners. And then we also see Jesus talking about the one who would love him the most would be the one who was forgiven of the most. So look at Galatians 2:20. Paul writes here, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How many of you said, when I asked you the one whom Jesus loved, you said, it's Paul. Okay, so far. Well, you know, how about the one who broke out the ointment or the alabaster box and poured it at Jesus' feet and kissed his feet and wiped off his feet with her hair? That was the one where the Pharisee could not believe that Jesus had allowed those things to happen, and Jesus points out that he kind of gave a parable, but the one who is forgiven of the most is the one who is most loved, or who would love the most, I should say. We probably didn't say that. But then let's look here. Let's go from there. We didn't get the answer, I guess, there, at least not your answer. And let's go now, and let's just see what Jesus did. What kind of things did Jesus do? Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Here we see the Holy Spirit telling us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I want us to look here at what Jesus has done for you, and has done for me. Jesus, the Bible tells us first, he humbled himself. He who is God himself left glory and came to this earth. I refer to missionaries here, and I certainly do not exalt myself in this area. But I want you to think with me. Let's take two missionaries of equal ability, equal status financially. One goes, and he goes to Uganda, and he basically finds himself a compound with a nice house. He has running water. He has toilets. He has electricity. He has all of the conveniences that he was used to in the United States. In addition, he has his motor cars.
He has his people who work for him, his guards and all of that. And he goes out. On occasion, he leaves his compound, and he goes out and he ministers to the people of Uganda. Let's take another missionary. This missionary goes to Uganda, and he gives up all of what he has. He goes and he lives in a village where he will gather, his wife will gather water, they will gather firewood, they will experience the same life as those who are living in the village. He will probably experience the same sicknesses that they experience, but he will integrate himself right there with the lowliest of the low in Uganda. Now you tell me, which missionary loved more? The one who kept everything he had and went out and ministered, the one who gave up everything he had to live like those he was ministering to? And I think we'd all say that the most people would say that missionary who was living amongst the people, who had given up all the conveniences of his life to live like the people he was ministering to, he loved more. Well, think about Jesus. When Jesus came to this world, he, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, gave it all up. He didn't come to the castles and the palaces. He came instead to the lowliest of the low. In fact, he was questioned, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, Jesus was the lowliest of the low. When even the sacrifice his parents made when he was circumcised, it was just two pigeons, which showed that they were the poorest of the poor. But Jesus, that's how he came, and he basically gave up everything in order to become like us and to reach us. He came to seek and to save, the Bible says, that which was lost. He came to seek me out and to save me. We see here that about his suffering and his death. When we look at the suffering and death, he didn't take the easy way out. He suffered our punishment. The Bible does not say it, but I don't think that it would be inaccurate to look at it this way. And the fact is that when Jesus went before Pilate, the Bible says he remained silent. He provided no defense. And Pilate was like, listen to what they're saying about you. What do you have to say? And he said nothing. And I believe the reason he said nothing, because he wasn't there for himself. He wasn't there representing him. He was there representing you and me. We were guilty. And so he remained silent. And he became that he was the Lamb of God then that was slain for you and for me. It was all suffered for us. And we see here as the Bible describes it. Now, I want you to catch something here, because it's what I'm working on to help us with, okay? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. What I want you to understand is Jesus loved and he gave. And I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. I'm going to help. I hope we see this, and I hope we can get changed as a result. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." You see that? Okay, now, hold that in your head, okay? Hold that verse in your head. In fact, let's read it again so we've got it. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, we're going to read a verse we've already read, and it says pretty much, it says a lot the same thing. Now go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20.
Now listen to this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now listen. Who loved me and gave himself for me. You see that? The one, he loved the church and gave himself for it. That's true. Okay? And so often that's our thinking. For God so loved the world. That's our thinking. But we need to start thinking like Paul, who loved me and gave himself for me. How many of you, when I said the one whom Jesus loved, you said, it's me. That's me. Most of you said, if you said something, you said John.
Right.
You see, the love of Jesus does not possess you. And as a result, we think of Jesus in almost a generic love for everybody, and you don't realize that you're special to him. That he did all of this. He suffered all of this. He did it for you. And we need to become like John. See, John wasn't saying, I'm the one who Jesus loves and he doesn't love you like he loves me. That's not what John was saying. The very same John who said that was the one who wrote about how much he loved Lazarus. The same John who said that said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The reason that John does this is that's the way he identified himself. There was nothing more important about himself than I am the one whom Jesus loves. What is there that's more important about you than you are the one whom Jesus loves? There's nothing more important about you. We need to be like John, and we need to remember that the most important identity I have is I am a child of God. I am the one whom Jesus loves. And if when we come to that, we will see our very life change. The story we talked about, songs that we really love, but the Bible tells us, the Bible says that, or we have a song that Jesus loves me. This I know. And the question is, do you know that? Do you know that Jesus loves you? That if you had been the only one who had fallen from grace, who had fallen to sin, that Jesus would have come. And he would have come to this earth. He would have humbled himself for you. He would have suffered and died. You are the one whom Jesus loves. I am the one whom Jesus loves. Do you know that? Because you look at it, and the Bible tells us that. Let me say this first. I gladly identify myself as a missionary. I assume, Pastor, you gladly identify yourself as a pastor. And you know what? When I identify myself as a missionary, you know what people expect me to talk about? They expect me to talk about God. They expect me to talk about my mission field. And it gives me an easy opportunity over and over again, wherever I go, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because of my identity. So many of us, we don't identify ourselves with Christ to the world, and as a result, it's so hard to get a chance to share the gospel.
Amen.
But John, when he identified himself, he said, hey, I'm the one whom Jesus loves. And you also. I don't know.
know about, some of you might identify yourselves, I'm an engineer. Some of you might identify, I don't know how you identify yourself, but we need to identify ourselves as children of God.
Amen.
As the ones whom Jesus loves.
Amen.
And it's going to change the whole way you see yourself, and it will change the way others see you too. It's so important that our identity changes. Even God himself says that he's given you a new name. And your identity, when you became a child of God, your identity totally changed. And you need to recognize that so that you can then be a more effective for Christ. Now, one of the reasons this is so important that you recognize God's love for you is the Bible tells us we love him because he first loved us.
That's right.
You get the link? Until you recognize the love that God has for you, you will not love him back. And so it is essential in the Christian life that we focus in on God's love for us. I would ask you to take time, not to figure out what you need to do for God, but take time to meditate on what God has done for you. Because as you think about what God has done for you, it will change the way you see God, and it will give you a love for God. And when you have a love for someone, you will sacrifice whatever you have to for that person. I think about many, many parents who have had a child fall terribly sick. When Jacob, when Jacob was 7 years old, he was about ready to turn eight, Jacob fell out of a tree from about 50 feet. He had to be life-flighted to Harborview, and there he had to be cared for some brain damage. It was amazing that it wasn't a lot worse than it was. What do you think? You think when the doctor came and said, we might have to remove Jacob's skull cap. There's bleeding on the brain. Doctor, how much is that going to cost me? You know, let's talk cost here first, doctor. You think I did that?
No.
Who cares about cost? You know, whatever you got to do for that boy, let's do it. Okay? That's the way we are with people we love. Okay? That's the way God was about us.
Right.
He was extravagant in his love. Amen. He did whatever had to be done. He made the greatest sacrifice that he could make of his son because of his love for us.
Right.
It was extravagant. How about our love for God?
Amen.
See, it's not extravagant because we have yet to meditate and to understand of God's great love. And we have not personalized it. And so I would ask you to start instead to meditate and think about God's love for you. Think about all that he has done for you. Think about all that he is doing for you. And think about all that he will do for you for eternity. For he is going to love you. Not just for a little time. He's going to love you for all eternity. He's not going to love you just when you're good. He'll love you no matter what. For he will never leave you nor forsake you. And when we see the great love he has for us, then we get this. We love him because he first loved us. You see, Jesus gives us two great commands. He was asked, what is the greatest of the commandments? What is the greatest of the commandments? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. In other words, the first thing first. Okay, let's keep first things first. Love for God.
That's right.
And then what's the second?
to love your neighbor as yourself.
Don't go off into the other rules and regulations and stuff like that. Focus in on your love. Do you love God with everything you are? Well, if you don't, then go back and try and go back and meditate on how much God loves you. Go back and think about it.
And then, as you love God, that way you will have little to no trouble loving your neighbor as yourself. Think about what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
It tells about all these great abilities. It tells about all these... I'm going to lose my voice, and I don't ever lose my voice. but it's going to happen. Can I drink that?
Yeah, that's yours.
I don't know if it will help.
I don't know how we did this.
I never speak with a microphone in Uganda, so I shouldn't lose my voice. But think with me. It talks about the greatness of the person and the greatness of his deeds in 1 Corinthians 13. And it says, you can be a great person, but if you have not charity, you're nothing. You get that? Forget about being a great person. Be great in charity. Then it says you can do great deeds. And it says, if you do all these great deeds, but you do them without charity, it profits you nothing. You got it? I think God's making it really clear to us that the motivation of our life should be the love that God has for us, which will then drive our love for Him, which will make us great and will make us profitable. That's what we need, but it's got to start. It has to start with your understanding and my understanding of what God, how much God loves you. I think about the Great Commission, and often we have to admit it has not been well obeyed. And the reason is because of a lack of love for God. Because once you love God with all of your heart, then you will go because of the one who said to go. It will not be hard for you, because you will love Jesus, and you'll look and say, the one who loves me and the one who I love says go. And that is no problem to obey the one who you love. Well, in conclusion, I ask you now, how do you define yourself? How do you identify yourself? I pray that as you think on this message, think on this thought, please, don't go to the other externals until you get this straight. How much Jesus loves you.
And maybe to others, maybe in the quietness of your own place, just every once in a while say, I'm the one. I'm the one who Jesus loves. And let that sink deep into you. And as you start understanding this, God is going to do a work on your heart. And you then will love God as you're supposed to love Him.
God did not withhold anything from you, He tells us in Scripture. He says, now listen. He said, I didn't withhold my best from you. And if I wouldn't withhold my best from you, what good thing would I withhold from you? You see, God continues to pour out His love to you. And go with me as we conclude. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Because it ain't going to quit. Look at beginning with verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. You see that? We're going to need
his grace for all eternity. And he tells us, you've got it. You've got it. For the ages to come, I am going to continue to be gracious to you. For he loves you, and he loves me.
And that is a life-changing thing.
Why don't we at least close, and then I'll close in prayer, and then Pastor will take the invitation. But let's sing a song together, one of my favorite. Jesus loves me. This I know. You ready? Here we go. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just cannot get enough of this. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us, Lord, to meditate on this thought, to search the scriptures, and to recall the great love wherewith you loved us. Lord, that even while we were yet sinners, that you gave your Son, that even while we were yet sinners, he willfully died for us. And Lord, that now he continues, and you continue to give all good gifts. And Lord, you have made us your children. You have given us eternal life. You have prepared a place in heaven for us where you can show us your grace forever and ever. Lord, you've done so much for us. And Lord, so often we forget the personal relationship that you want to have with us. That you are not a general Savior or a generic Savior. You are our personal Savior. So Lord, I pray that you will dominate our thoughts, and that we will continue to think about the great love you have for us. And that each one of us, Lord, will be transformed by this love, so that we will then love you as we should. That we will love you with our entire being. Lord, please do that work in our hearts. We're not going to be able in the flesh to do it, Lord. We can't do it. We need you. So, Lord, we ask you once again to do another great work for us, to help us to see your love for us and to place within us that great love for you. God, we need it. So I pray that you'll help us to have that love for you. And may each one of us leave here tonight with a thought in our hearts, that I am the one whom Jesus loves. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, God, for sending your Son to die for us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.